Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. Charge. Don't judge me out loud. I have to figure out something. I always have to do something different for each beginning of the episodes. But anyways, hey, welcome back to Nightmare Talkers. And guess who's back? Back again. It is your other co-host.
It's Grace.
Oh my gosh, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
You were on a vacation in Mexico, I hear.
I was, yes. Sitting on a beach.
Sipping Mai Tais and
oh whatever. Yeah, pina coladas, the yeah, whole nine yards.
I've seen the messages.
There's proof, yeah.
We're definitely not going to show those on here.
No.
So anyways, we're gonna roll intro real quick. And so that is the music, main theme music from the movie Scream, which we're gonna talk about. So Grace, yes, we do have intro music. Obviously, at the recording, we have no idea what it is. And Robin could also, like I said this in the last episode with Robin, like he could just say, screw you guys, I'm not doing it. You know, and just make us sound like a fool. But anyways, yeah, so today's episode is about Scream. So if you want to kind of get on like what you like about that movie and all that fun stuff.
Honestly, I thought it was a great movie. I don't like watching new movies. I'm just throwing that out there. Nothing new, against
new,
movies. It's
new,
just
new movies.
Like the it's one, been a the, while the since I've one? Seen this one.
The one what that came like, out in the first ever Scream that came out in the 90s?
Well, it's been probably 10 years since I saw it. So I'd say it's new to me because I get stuck on this loop of watching the same shows and movies for years.
Where'd it go?
But it was good to go back to that one. I loved it. It had a great opening scene with Casey just minding her business, right?
Drew just Barrymore. The funny thing is, like with Drew Barrymore, is like she was advertised and everyone thought she was going to be the main actress, and then they just killed her off right at the beginning.
Yeah, they're like, actually, you get 2 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, actually, and that's what she wanted, actually.
Yeah, she didn't want like a big part in it. She was like, I'll be in it, but
yeah,
it's gonna be 10 minutes, you know.
Yeah, and then one of the things I like about Scream is it revitalized the slasher genre. Because, as you'll see, proof on the screen, if you're watching it, is that the slasher genre in the 90s was interesting. Because you had, like, Freddy's Dead that came out in the 90s. You also had Jason X. Or no, was it Jason Goes to Hell? Year did Jason X come out? I'm just trying to make sure I'm getting this right, so we don't have an editor's note pop up. I'm watching you, Robin. Oh, Robin, say hi. Robin, say hi to Grace.
Hello, Grace. I hope all is well. I hope your Mexico trip is good. And also, editor's note, Jason X came out in 2001. So there you go. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Now, hi, Robin.
Yeah, so Jason Goes to Hell, because Jason X came out in 2001.
That's right.
Interesting year for that movie. we're not going to get into that.
Not today.
But like the slasher genre kind of took a downturn in the 90s because they were going for more comedic sort of aspect. And obviously it did not work. I mean,
right.
With Freddy's Dead, that was like almost a comedy the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that was supposed to be a professional, serious movie. And then the same thing with Jason Goes to Hell.
Right.
Jason Goes to Hell was just weird.
Yeah, those are movies that I'd throw it or like watch it like a high school party with some of my friends, but like not something I'd watch for the fear factor.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and interesting. Also, I don't know if you've seen this, if you watch the videos, but Robin has started doing a swear counter on me. So every single time I say a swear word, he puts it on there. And then I have decided that every swear word I say until the end of this year, so the end of 2025, like December 31st, 2025, I will donate $10 per swear word.
That's incredible. Like, to...
This sounds terrible, but it sounds no. To I'm still trying to decide on a charity, looking towards more St. Jude's for obviously like right around the Christmas time. Back in the old days, I did a charity live stream. You won't be able to find this anywhere, but I did a 48-hour charity live stream for Wounded Warrior Project at one point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was fun. But
I can only imagine the caffeine intake on that.
You know what the crazy thing is? I didn't have that much caffeine.
And you just raw-dogged it,
yeah, I just raw-dogged it. It was, ugh.
This man is totally insane.
Props to you, man. That's hard.
Yeah, it was crazy as fudge.
You're close.
So
take note of that, Robin.
Yeah. Anyways, so back on topic, we're talking about the first Scream that came out. Do you know the kind of the origin story behind it?
I don't. I watched the movie today, and then I was kind of looking through, not like the Wikipedia for it, but just kind of going down this rabbit hole of like the actors and like the character backstories, and I didn't really find much, so I don't know if I was just looking in the wrong spot. But
here's the interesting thing. So Scream is based off of kind of true events. Kind of the inspiration. So the writer, I forgot his name. His name will be on the screen, and editor will add like an AI voice saying the, Robin will add in an AI voice saying the name of the writer.
Kevin Williamson.
I don't know why I can't remember his name. But anyways, you ever heard of the Gainesville Massacre or the Gainesville Slasher?
Yes.
So you kind of know what happened during that time. It was around the University of Florida, or was it the University of Miami? And so during the trial, the writer of Scream, they were watching it, and like he was watching the trial, and the person was trying to use the excuse of horror movies as why he did what he did. He started making, like, he was saying he was like possessed by demons, and then he was quoting stuff from The Exorcist. And so, yeah. And then, so like the writer was sitting there and he was kind of scared, and then he called his friend and they were sitting there talking on the phone, and one of the questions that brought up was, what's your favorite scary movie?
What's your favorite scary movie?
And so,
and the franchise is born.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's like that's where he kind of got the inspiration from everything. Because here's the thing with like Ghostface is a pop culture icon,
right?
You know, he's in everything. They even have Ghostface in like they've even referenced Ghostface in children's shows and things like that. Like he's a pop culture icon. I think what makes him so popular is like the way the movies are. They're kind of like meta movies. Like,
yeah,
you know, they know they're kind of living the events of a horror movie. And they're trying to figure out how to avoid that, right? Because you got a good old Randy who gives you the rules of a horror movie.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex. Big no-no!
I'm a dead man.
Sex equals death, okay? Number two, you can never drink or do drugs. No, the sin factor. It's a sin, it's an extension of number one. And number three, never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
You see, you push the laws and you end up dead. Okay, I'll see you in the kitchen with a knife.
And you have, you also got to look at the one of the most famous scenes between Randy and Stu Mocker. Is I'll never, ever say I'll be right back. And then Stu turns around and says, I'll be right back.
I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
And so there's things like that. Like, I think that's why, like, Ghostface, and it also kind of makes fun of the horror genre in a sense that there's some franchises that just last forever. Because, was it Scream 6? They made the joke that they made a Stab 13. They made 13.
Was it the fifth one or the sixth?
I think it was the sixth one that they made. Like, they made a joke about having 13 movies, like 13 Stab movies, which is, like, you know, based off of the events that go on in Scream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they're just, like, making that joke. No, it was the fifth one. It was the fifth one that they made that joke, because they even have YouTubers from Dead Meat, James, Agent East, and Chelsea. Chelsea Rebecca, that goes on there. Yeah, that they have a role in there that they're doing a podcast about it, and they're making fun of that. And to be fair, I also took a lot of inspiration for this podcast from their podcast. Obviously, they do things a lot different, and they're a lot more successful. So,
right, we're just starting, though, you know.
hopefully, we'll get better. You know, it's the dream.
We're gonna be rich and famous before you know it.
Shh! If you say it out loud, it's not gonna happen. Oh my gosh.
I said nothing, yeah. It was just something in my throat there, yeah.
It's that Mexico.
Yeah. The liquor's hanging in me, man.
The tequila.
Ah, yeah.
I don't know. That might have been cultural appropriation. That's another lawsuit right there. Last week, I actually made a lawsuit because we were talking about Terrifier, and I said, oh, it's just like in the Marvel movies. Spider-Man says, I see his, everywhere I look, I see his face. Yep, that's a lawsuit, because there's even Robin threw in that bit with Tom Holland sitting on the ledge.
That's fair.
I see his face.
Everywhere I go, I see his face.
That's fair.
Well, that's one lawsuit for Marvel right there. Saying that from, like, the trailer and turning around, and instead of Iron Man's face, it's Art the Clown's face. It's just staring back at him. I'm like, that's a lawsuit from Disney, probably. You know, I've heard anything back yet, so we're good. I think we're really clear.
It's in the snail mail right now, man.
Good thing I didn't put my address on here. Anyways, I keep yapping. And so how about we give Grace a turn and she can start talking about the movie, you know, starting from the beginning.
Well, you see, it all happened right at the beginning.
In the beginning.
In the beginning. You know, it was a pretty good opener. It starts out Drew Barrymore, Casey, minding her business, just making popcorn, getting ready to watch a movie. The phone rings, you know, nothing unusual. She picks it up. Then all of a sudden, who am I talking to? Like, it just gets weirder and weirder.
And this was before caller ID.
Right, yeah, no, it was like those old school phones.
Don't say old school. I had those phones growing up. I'm not that old. Jeez, I was born in 1997. I ain't dead. Anyways,
see, continue. I was born after 9/11, so. Continue. Everything before that is old to me. Ancient. Ancient man.
Oh, you're going to offend Robin. Robin's older than me. You better apologize
Robin is,
to him.
Robin is young and spry.
You better apologize to him right now.
You know, my dearest apologies. From the bottom of my heart, good sir.
Apology accepted.
Yeah, she's back on track for the 47th time here. She gets this random call, and she doesn't know who it is, so naturally she thinks, you know, oh, it's a wrong number, so she hangs up, immediately calls back, and she goes, yeah, the guy on the phone goes, oh, it turns out I did dial the wrong number. And she goes, why would you call back? Because that's a fair question.
Yeah.
And then he keeps asking her, like, what's your name, you know? I want to know who I'm looking at. And this is where, like, the red flags start to go up for her, you know?
Well, he also says the iconic line, what's your favorite scary movie, first, before he says that.
There's right, that he goes, line. You want to play a game. What's your favorite scary movie? Because she was talking about, like, oh, I'm just going to watch a movie. And he goes, what's your favorite scary movie? Like scary
movies. Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Halloween. You know, the one with the guy in the white mask who walks around and stalks babysitters.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Guess.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is that the one where the guy had knives for fingers?
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
Freddy, that's right. I like that movie. It was scary.
Wow, well, the first one was, but the rest sucked. So.
Just chef's kiss. I love it. And then she starts freaking out, as one would.
Yeah, and I think she hangs up the phone as well, like the second
she hangs up on him multiple times, yes. I think I counted like 5 or 6.
And he's like, if you hang up the phone one more time, I'm going to gut you like a fish.
No, you listen, you little bitch. If you hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand? Yeah.
Yes. And then eventually she has to play his little game because her poor boyfriend is tied to a chair out on the back patio. He's like, we're going to play a game. Or your boyfriend, he's not going to make it. So she's got no choice. He gives her a little warm-up question about movie trivia. She gets that one right. That one was,
It was Who's the Killer from Halloween.
Don't do this, I can't.
Name the killer in Halloween.
No.
Come on, it's your favorite scary movie, remember? He had a white mask, he stalked the babysitters.
No.
Come on, yes you
no.
do.
Please.
What's his name?
I can't.
Steve's counting on you.
Michael. Michael Myers.
Yes! Very good.
Yes, that was it. Because, yeah, she had said that that was her favorite one.
Yeah.
So anyways, he's asking her all these, like, movie trivia questions. And... Sorry about that. I could feel it coming and I was trying to push it back. Oh. Yeah. I don't even know where I was now.
Yeah, well, so she's talking, they're doing the movie of trivia questions, right? And then I think one, like the last question was who is the killer from Friday the 13th.
Name the killer in Friday the 13th.
Jason! Jason! Jason!
I'm sorry. That's the wrong answer.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It was Jason.
Afraid not? No way.
Listen, it was Jason. I saw that movie 20 goddamn times.
Then you should know Jason's mother, Mrs. Voorhees, was the original killer. Jason didn't show up until the sequel. I'm afraid that was a wrong answer.
You tricked me. Lucky. Yeah, and she's like, it's Jason. And
all
Ghostface
of us
on the phone is like, wrong.
All of us, you know, horror movie nerds, like, actually, it was...
We're pushing our glasses up our nose.
actually, it was Jason's mother.
Mm-hmm. It was Mrs. Voorhees, actually.
Actually. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you have someone like Drew Barrymore ask those questions. She doesn't know.
She watched the first one, didn't see any of the others.
No, she watched the second one, didn't see any of the others. Because the second one is where Jason comes out.
Okay, that's... Okay.
The more you know. Ding, 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 ding.
Indeed. Yeah, so, Casey giving that wrong answer unfortunately resulted in poor Steve getting, disemboweled.
And in, so like, a little bit on that. So in the movie, if you watch the movie, like if you watch the movie back in the day in the theaters, which, you know, I don't think any of us was alive or enough or were old enough to see it. The thing was, they actually, like, if you watch it on streaming now, you'll see like the guts coming out and things like that. Originally, mm-hmm. they had to take that out of the movie. They had to take that out. Because they couldn't show it in the theaters.
Right.
Because back in like in the 70s, 80s, 90s, gore wasn't that big of a, you know, was a lot bigger deal than it was, especially starting in the 2000s when they really hammered it down.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, that was a little side thingy.
Side tidbit.
Yeah. So anyways, so I think this is the part. Yeah, she starts running out. Trying to run away from Ghostface.
Yeah, she freaks out. Tries to run away. Fails miserably. And during this time, her parents show up to visit her or whatever, and she...
No, her parents were coming home because she was still in high school.
Okay, that's what it was. I was like, I couldn't remember.
They're in college in the second one, but they're in high school in the first one.
Okay, that's what... Yeah. Yeah, so the parents show up. They see, like, the back patio door has just been shattered. And, like, the popcorn is actively on fire on the stove. She never even got to eat her popcorn. It was so sad.
Not the Jiffy Pop.
Oh, I know. What a shame.
I might have to go buy some after this.
It's sounding really good, I'll be honest with you. So she uses all of her effort to try and escape Ghostface as he's chasing her down. The parents call the police because their house has been broken into. Who wouldn't call the police? And the, like, phone line is doing the, like, busy sound, you know? The beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
I don't do impressions, so.
The bird, bird, bird.
Yeah. And the parents somehow get, like, her on the phone. Which this part confused me because it was like a landline.
So here's
like it wasn't a landline.
So but... here's the thing that here's the thing with landlines back in the day, is with landlines, if one person's on the phone, someone else can pick up the second phone because typically with landlines, people had like multiple phones that were connected to the same number across the house.
Yeah,
and then someone else could pick it up and they can listen in on the conversation and actually talk. as well. That was like one of the things with like landlines is multiple people can be on the phone at the same, like multiple people can talk to that person at the same time.
I understood that reference.
Okay. That's, yeah, I had one of those when I was growing up. I was so confused. I was like, this is kind of before cell phones got big, you know?
Yeah, and then I think, what is it? Also, they tried to get her, like, they listening in, but the thing was, like, Ghostface, like, slashed her throat, and so she couldn't talk at all.
Yeah, he had, like, I think he stabbed her in the lung.
Yeah.
And so she was having trouble getting, like, because her, she was filling with blood, obviously, so she couldn't talk properly. So the parents can just hear her wheezing. They're like, oh my God, something's happened, you know, panicked parents.
Yeah.
And Ghostface drags her away. The parents go back out in the yard and they see her just hanging from a tree.
Yeah, she was just hanging around.
Yep. Brutally, brutally slashed. And once again, disemboweled.
Yep. He did what he said. He was going to gut her like a fish.
Stuck true to his word.
Yep. And so, anyways, and then that's when then they rolled the title card for Scream, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, a little fun fact, it was originally going to be called Scary Movie. That was going to be the original name of Scream, was just Scary Movie, which obviously we know now that Scary Movie, the parody of Scream, came out, I think, like a few months later after that. And you know, made fun of it, but yeah, so then you have the title rolling in and they're in school. But here's another thing I want to point out is, I don't know if you noticed the differences in the mask in the shots. So if you look at the Ghostface mask in the opening shot where he's chasing her around inside the house, his eyes are wider than the one where he's chasing her down and stabbing her.
Sparkly robe with square arm tatters and pointed frills on the bottom edges. More ghoulish masks were considered before settling on the peanut-eyed ghost mask. A second mask that's wider, has thinner eyes, a smaller nose and smaller mouth, along with a lighter neck piece, is also worn by Ghostface.
And it's because of the fact that they had to make alterations to the mask because the Ghostface mask that you see, like, you know, everyone sees now, and that you see throughout the movie, minus a couple scenes where it's thinner lines. The thinner lines ones was because they didn't have it was copyrighted by this other company that created, like, the Ghostface mask. They called it, like, the Screaming Ghost or whatever. They saw it when they were checking some places out. They saw the mask just sitting there in this one room. And it was from a toy company. And the guy who runs that toy company, it was a mom and pop toy company, just said, hey, look, you can use the mask if you just say thank you to such and such toy company. That's all we ask.
You know? Give them a little shout out.
Yeah, basically. And here's another thing that's actually really funny. So where they're filming, like, the school was actually not a school. It was a community center. They tried to do it in a high school, but that was during one of the biggest debates of, like, violence in schools.
Yeah. There
was, like, a huge debate about violence in schools going on. And so they tried to do it in one school, but they said no. And what they actually did, and you can see this in the end credits to this day, they said no thanks to whatever high school it was. They said no thanks to that high school. In the credits, they said thanks to that community center, and then it said, and then it says, and no thanks to the high school.
That's brilliant.
they were just being petty. But also, I think this was before Columbine, because Columbine happened a few years after that. And yeah. So, but it was still, like, there was still violence. That's, you know, still violence in school with, like, fights and other killings and things like that. Right. And so they just didn't want their school to be portrayed that way, right? And so they told them they couldn't film in there. And that's kind of where we go off, is they're at the school. And I think the opening scene at the school is all of them sitting at the fountain. Am I saying that right? Yeah. They're all kind of sitting there at the fountain, kind of just talking about everything that happened. And then that's where you kind of meet everybody there. And you get the wonderful line from Matthew Lillard. Liver alone. Liver. You know, liver.
Maybe you goof, like I'm trying to eat here. Right?
Just getting mad, right? Better liver alone. Liver alone. Ow, liver. It was a joke.
Man really thought that was a 10 out of 10 joke.
Yeah. You know, it was funny, probably.
Got the knee slap and everything.
Yeah. I tried to do it. It didn't work. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, tough crowd. Anyways. Yeah. And it's still, like, no one knows who it is. And that's when Randy kind of starts going on about the horror movie stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
About the rules of a horror movie and what you shouldn't trust, what you should trust, and things like that. And so, also, I think I'm just saying that the person who played Billy, fantastic job, and the same thing Matthew Lillard playing Stu Mocker, fantastic job, but they acted suspicious the entire time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It was like screaming in our face, no pun intended. I mean, it was screaming in our face that they were the killers.
Right.
And so I think, yeah, so they're kind of talking about it and bringing it up because there's like the news vans and things like that. And then that's where you also meet Courtney Cox as Gail Weathers shows up in like the loudest suit I've ever seen.
Oh, I know. My eyes hurt just looking at it.
And notice me.
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. I am here. You know. And so they go to class and they're starting to like pulling kids like individually. And that's where you meet the actual final girl, Sydney Prescott.
Prescott.
She was daughter of Sydney.
Thank you.
Hi, Sydney.
Sheriff Burke. Dewey.
That's Deputy Riley today, Sid.
How is everything?
Good.
And your dad? How's he doing?
We're fine. Thanks.
We're going to keep this very brief, Sydney. The police just want to ask you a few questions. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sydney, were you very close to Casey Beck?
And they're talking about everything, because they also bring up the thing that happened to her mom a year before, where she was, and kind of trigger warning here, she was raped and murdered by Cotton, that was believed a year before, right?
Yep.
And so they just wanted to make sure she was okay, and, you know, making sure that she wasn't the one that, you know, did it. So
right,
and if you kind of want to take it off from there.
Yeah. So they just kind of go about their day at school, and they Sydney gets home and her dad is traveling for work, so she's waiting for her best friend to go spend the night over there. And lo and behold, she receives a spooky call.
The spooky call.
The spookiest of calls. It's the same kind of questions, you know, like, do you want to play a game? What's your favorite scary movie? You know, his classic shticks, right?
Yeah.
And then at one point, he says something about... He brings up, like, what happened to her mom.
Yeah, he starts, and like, teasing her.
Yeah. He starts, like, getting under her skin with that. And that's when she starts, like, freaking out. And then Ghostface like gets in the house, and so there's a big kind of chase scene through there, and she gets attacked by him, and then he just disappears.
And here's the other thing too, is like, she was making a joke about, you know, about making fun of horror movies, and then she made all the horror movie mistakes.
Yep.
She made every single one of those horror movie mistakes while, like, literally moments before she was making fun of horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Just checked them right off the list.
Yeah.
One by one.
Anyways, continue.
Yeah, so she's, like, calling 911 through the computer. And as she's doing that, Ghostface just kind of disappears. And then right then, Billy climbs through her window, and she's like, at first she's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's someone in the house, like the killer's back. And then she immediately is like, wait, hold on.
Well, because, cell phone fell out of his pocket.
Right.
And back in the 90s, cell phones weren't really, like, there weren't a lot of cell phones out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, you know, we say this, like, we say this compared to, like, comparatively nowadays, cell phones were not as expensive as they are now, but back then they were really expensive. Like, hardly anyone had a cell phone because of how expensive they were. And people still use landlines and pagers, and so they didn't really need... And the payphone was still around and things like that. And so still, like, cell phones weren't as relevant as they are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but she gets suspicious of him. And so she just kind of runs out of the house, like, runs away from him. And right when the police show up, they find the Ghostface mask just sitting on the front step. And
with Deputy Dewey holding it, which is like the best character in the entire franchise.
He's so underappreciated, honestly. And Billy gets arrested because there's not really any other. Yeah. In that moment, like, who else would you arrest?
Yeah, well, Billy just was there. And then, like, those things just happened, and all of a sudden Billy's there. That's kind of suspicious.
Yeah, it is, definitely. But they take Sydney down to the police station to get her statement and, like, make sure she's okay. And there she's confronted by, of course, none other than Gail Weathers.
Yeah, so stay here. I'm gonna get the cop. Don't move. Don't make a sound.
There she is. Sydney!
Some night, what happened? Are you all right?
She's not answering any questions, all right? Just leave us alone.
No, no, Tatum, it's okay. She's just doing her job, right, Kim?
Yes, that's right.
So, how's the book?
Well, it'll be out later this year.
Oh, I'll look for it. I'll send you a copy.
Oh! Oh, jeez. Hey. Nice shot.
Bitch.
No, I mean, camera shot. Where'd you learn to punch like that?
Written a book.
She also gets a call in the police station from Ghostface, I think. Was it in the police station or was it after?
No, that was at her friend's house later.
Yeah. So, yeah, she gets confronted by Gail Weathers and gives, like, the meanest right hook.
Oh, yeah. Totally deserved, though. I'll be honest, I cheered.
You know, I think...
Just right to the face.
Yeah, just... But I kind of want to pause right there and kind of talk about those events. Like, you know, in those kinds of movies, it's like a whodunit kind of film. You know, it's kind of works in, like, real life. 99% of the time the boyfriend did it or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some could argue before they found out that Billy was Ghostface, that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it's like, you and your friend are trying to create this horrible character, right? You're trying to create this character to strike fear into people and things like that. And let's say it was, because I think the theory is it was Stu that was in the costume chasing her then. Mm-hmm. It was Stu in the Ghostface costume chasing her, and Billy was just waiting outside. And so, yeah. And it's like you're trying to come up with this genius plan to, you know, create fear and eventually kill your target. The dumbest move, I would say, is literally right after that event, you decide to go visit your girlfriend that you're planning on killing later.
Right.
It's like, it's kind of like as if they didn't really think it out. And obviously we know they weren't the ones who thought of the plan, because later on in Scream mm-hmm. 3, you found out it was her half-brother that was the one who came up with the plan for everything that went down in Woodsboro.
Yeah, they were just carrying it out.
Yeah, and so, you know, they didn't really know that much, and they weren't really that smart, but obviously it's a horror movie. When is anyone ever smart?
No one is, yeah.
It's something we're going to keep bringing up. I think we should start a counter for that. Is when is anyone ever smart in horror movies?
We need an idiot counter.
Dumbass, damn it. Ah! What is that, 3?
At least, yeah.
Watch your language.
Anyways, so, but yeah, and so now she's in the police station and she leaves. Gail Weather shows up and tries to get the scoop on it before mm-hmm. anyone else, because she catches it in the alley, and then a boom, right hook to the face. Gail Weather goes down and they leave. And she goes and stays at her best friend's house.
Yeah, and Gail had written a book about what happened to her mother.
And was trying to advocate for Cotton Weary's innocence the entire time in that book.
Right, yeah. Gail doesn't think Cotton's guilty. And Sydney's like, I know what happened.
Not for any moral aspect of it.
No.
Not for anything that's immoral about it. She just wants to be on the opposite side of things, and she wants to be right. Because she knows her book will sell if she's correct.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. That's her game.
Like Gail Weathers, it kind of like, you know, you always have those things like she has like a redemption at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. It's not really a redemption, because then she just goes right back to her old ways.
Yeah, it's
she literally
we're a hero
never,
for 2 seconds. Thanks.
Yeah, she literally never changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she makes herself the hero in the books.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, the thing is like, speaking of those books, Sydney never wanted any credit, as like canonically it says that Sydney didn't want any credit because she just wants to forget everything that happened.
Right.
Like, Gail wants to become famous off of it, you know. Sydney just kind of wants to put that behind her, which I think it's kind of hard to do that, especially if it keeps happening to you over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Right. They don't live in a big town either, so it's kind of hard to put stuff behind you.
I mean, that's why that's why in the second movie they go onto they go to Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just leave California altogether. But anyways, we're talking about the first Scream movie.
Yes.
So I think at this point, yeah, she's at her friend's house, and they are discussing the events. And everything. And then Dewey gets a call that's for Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out it was Ghostface.
Billy boyfriend. An innocent guy doesn't stand a chance with you.
Leave me alone.
Looks like you fingered the wrong guy. Wait. Again.
Who are you?
My name's Sid.
Don't worry. You'll find out soon enough. I promise.
What?
What?
And so I think Billy was let go the next day, because it turns out that it wasn't him.
Yeah, they had traced his cell phone, like the call records, and those cleared, so they let him go.
Yeah. And then obviously, again, like with the call from Ghostface that night while he was in jail.
Right.
Kind of proves that it wasn't him.
Yeah, she brings it up later, too. Or one of them does. You know, how could you call if I was in jail? Like, when you were in jail, who did you call?
Billy brings that up.
Yeah, which is just, like, more suspicious. Like, just adding on to it.
Yeah. And she's at the point where she's just not trusting anyone, you know?
Right.
And then, because of those events, I think what someone else dies. Like, you have the principal that dies, but no one figures that out until later. Which also, there is a funny reference to Wes Craven and to Freddy Krueger in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, Ghostface was like hiding in the principal's office.
And then, yeah.
Like behind the door.
Well, so while he was trying to, while the principal was looking for, you know, looking for him, he sees the, he comes out and says, "Where are you, little?" And I'm not going to say that word.
Yes. Hello?
Call me?
Huh? Not your friend.
Word. I'm not going to say it.
Swear counter.
I could just see the eyes roll up and just like, huh? Yeah, the ear slowly just rising up, listening. Anyways, and then Fred the janitor looks up. He's like, "What'd you say to me?" And it's Wes Craven.
"Would you call me?"
Yeah. And it's Wes Craven dressed up as, like, he's the janitor wearing, like, the Freddy Krueger outfit. Minus the finger knives.
Yeah.
Which, they almost didn't get Wes Craven to be the director of it. Because,
wow.
They tried him first. He denied it because he just, like, was trying to work on other projects and he just didn't think it was going to do well. Especially after, like, what he was working on Freddy's New Nightmare at the same time during this. And so he kind of just wanted to stay out of things that could have possibly injured his career. And then they went to couple of other directors. They said no. And so they went back to Wes Craven and said, "We'll double it." And he's like, "Okay, sir."
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously it became a success. Also due to him, R.I.P. to the legend himself, Wes Craven, you know. One of the most iconic directors in horror movies. I mean, he created the most iconic character in slasher movies altogether when he created Freddy Krueger, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously he had a huge part in Ghostface. And so,
obviously, yeah.
Yeah, and so now we're back to the movie. So if you want to talk about the principal scene.
Yeah, so I want to acknowledge this really quickly because I would be doing the exact same thing. The principal, so earlier that day, there were these two goons running around the school that had their own like little ghost face outfit and masks running around the school just being fools, you know. And so he confiscates them and expels these two boys.
Yeah. Oh.
And
I know why.
He's putting on the mask and like dancing in front of the mirror.
Down. I know why the school was shut down. Sydney gets attacked by Ghostface again in the bathroom.
Yeah, she gets attacked in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's important.
Keep note of that.
Yeah, that's an important moment where she gets attacked. She also gets right before that. I don't know if this really happens in high school girls' bathrooms, but they were just talking mad crap about her and her mom. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if the girls actually do that. You know?
Yes, they do. They do. I can confirm this.
As someone who also has a lot of friends that are girls, I also can confirm this. Girls do talk mad shit to each other. Oh, I guess I should put a swear jar on me. But yeah, they talk mad poopy to each other in the bathroom. Okay, enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, these two girls were like crap talking her mother, and like Sydney was in one of the stalls. They didn't know it, of course.
Or they just didn't care.
Yeah, you know, it's they probably honestly didn't care. Knowing high school girls.
She was never attacked. I think she made it all up.
Why would she lie about it?
For attention. The girl has some serious issues. What if she did it? What if Sydney killed Casey and Steve?
Why would she do that?
Maybe she had the hots for Steve and killed them both in a jealous rage.
What would Sydney want with Steve? She has her own bubble butt boyfriend, Billy.
Maybe she's a slut, just like her mother.
You're evil.
Please. It's a common fact. Her mother was a tramp.
Cut some slack. She watched her mom get butchered.
And it fucked her up royally. Think about it. Her mother's death leaves her disturbed and hostile in a cruel and inhumane world. She's delusional. Where's God, etc. Completely suicidal. One day she snaps. She wants to kill herself, but she realizes that teen suicide is out this year, and homicide is a much healthier therapeutic expression.
Where do you get this shit?
Ricky Lake.
Oh, you are pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they leave. Sydney comes out, you know, to wash her hands and just cry. Compose herself. Yeah. And then it pans to one of the stalls, and you see Ghostface's boots come down into frame.
And she was thinking, she was thinking at first it was like one of the people playing a prank, and then it turns out, nope, it's him.
Nope, it's actually him, yeah. She does this incredible slide, like, dodge out of the way, though. That was incredible. I would break every bone in my body if I did that.
And Ghostface being a goof. That's, like, one of the things I also love about Ghostface is he's just, like, every iteration of him, he's just not coordinated at all.
No, he trips over his own feet so many times.
And so I think that's one of the other things that why people love him, because it's, like, it's an amateur killer trying to be a professional, and he's messing up a lot.
Yeah.
And improvising a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of like improvising, I'm also improvising this. Grace, do you ever drink like gamer energy drinks at all? I know this is completely off topic, but do you ever drink any of that stuff?
Every now and then, yeah.
Well, guess what?
What?
Well, you can get this different type of energy drink called Dubby. And it's actually today's sponsor for the video. The podcast. Very nice. Yes, yes. And wow. So, I like to do these just abruptly, you know. There's like never ever any segue to doing sponsorships. But just like Ghostface abruptly appears out of the bathroom, I abruptly, you know, did this. So Dubby is a gamer energy drink company. They're based out of California. They are like the same, like they taste better and are a lot cheaper than the main brands that I will not say, because we might get in trouble for saying those main brands because we're dogging on them. Right. I said them before, and so I'm trying to keep from saying them again. but anyways, if you use promo code Nightmare Talker at checkout, you get 10% off your order. That's w.gg, and you do promo code Nightmare Talker, all one. It gives you 10% off. And one of the best things you can do is they have a thing that's called a sampler pack. You get a cup, you get a W cup, and you get samples of their of different flavors. And like a lot of things, like with W, they have tubs, things like that. They have caffeine, non-caffeinated, zero sugar. So you don't get like the sugar jitters, you know. Right. And, you know, they also have T-shirts and hats and all kinds of things. You know, so again, go to w.gg and use promo code Nightmare Talker today to get 10% off your order, and get the sampler pack. And all you have to do is pay for shipping. And here's the cool thing: including you're only paying for shipping, you still use the promo code. You get 10% off that shipping cost.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, anyways, back to the movie. Don't you just love those segues?
And another abrupt segues, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you have to bring them up.
No matter what you're doing.
You have to bring up the sponsor every episode, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we can get away with saying some of the things that we say. And showing some of the stuff we're showing if you're watching it on YouTube. You know, because it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Cast, you know? So you can sit and listen to us. Listen to our wonderful voices or watch the video and you see, because you'll hear random noises and random bits and pieces from the movie, and you know, you can watch it as well. Anyway, so Ghostface tries to attack Sydney, and so the school gets shut down, and Stu's like, I'm gonna throw a party at my house, you know.
Yeah,
even though there's like a curfew.
Yeah, they had put a curfew out, like everybody has to be home by 9 o'clock or something.
I think it was 7.
Because there's a. Was it 7?
Yeah, it's 7.
Oh, I suppose no, that makes more sense actually. Yeah.
They had to be home at 7 o'clock, and then after they talk about the party and everything, then it cuts to the principal getting killed.
Yeah. Because he had, like, heard knocking, and he was opening every, like, door in his office and every... Like, he opened a closet and, like, shoved his suits aside.
Which, first of all, who has a whole closet of suits at their job?
Right, especially a principal? Like, are you doing an outfit change at lunch?
Well, it is the Foz we're talking about here. Ayy. Anyways, this is true. Yeah. And also another fun fact. So that actor, he can only do like the reason why he was in it very little is because he couldn't be there that long because he had other prior commitments. And so he was part of the first takes with that other ghost face mask with the skinnier eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so he was there. This is like, so they filmed those scenes before they got permission. And so he was there. He was there when they had the ghost face with the skinnier eyes attack him.
I did, like, notice, like, a minor difference. I just couldn't put my finger on what it was.
Yeah, the eyes were skinnier, and I think the mouth was slightly longer.
The mask looked longer. I just didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways.
My brain was like, something's off.
And he gets killed off screen again. This is due to the fact, because they also had, like, his whole death scene. Well, he gets, like, it shows, like, the beginnings of his death, but doesn't show the whole thing. But that was also due to the MPAA.
Mm-hmm.
Which, they try to say they're not, like, a censoring company, but they are.
Yeah.
You know, those are the people that give ratings to movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... you have the MPAA saying, oh, you can't do all that if you want it to be rated R. You know. And so.
Yeah.
Anyways, now after that, they are in the movie store, which I don't know if you ever went to any of those as a kid, Grace. But
I went to a Blockbuster. Yeah.
Yeah, they go to a movie store, and Randy's working at that store. and Billy and Stu are there. And I'm just saying, you know, Billy is psychotic and so is Stu, but I think there was a little bit of a romance going on, at least on Stu's side.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, you just look at how he acts around. And then they make that joke in a Scary Movie, right?
That's right, Cindy. I'm gay. And in case you haven't noticed, so is Ray.
What? I ain't gay.
What are you talking about? You took her to that club.
So? They play good music.
What about our trip to San Francisco, then?
I wanted to go shopping.
But you made love to me.
No, ho. First of all, you suck my...
Whatever, Ray. Okay, right.
That, but instead of, like, the second guy being gay, it was, like, the main guy. And so this was, like, back in the 90s where they made a lot more of those jokes than they do nowadays, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the 90s and early 2000s were, like, the Wild West when it came to jokes. Because it was, like, anything goes, you know?
It was a free-for-all, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm not gonna go into that because we're gonna keep discussing Scream. So that's another iconic scene is when Randy yells out, "Anybody can be a suspect."
I'm popping up in the last reel somewhere, eyes gouged out, fingers cut off, teeth knocked out. See, the police are always off track with this shit. If they'd watch Prom Night, they'd save time. There's a formula to it, a very simple formula. Everybody's a suspect.
I'm telling you, the dad's a red herring. It's Billy.
How do we know you're not the killer?
Huh?
Hi, Billy. Maybe your movie-freaked mind lost its reality button. You ever think of that?
You're absolutely right. I'm the first to admit it. If this were a scary movie, I'd be the prime suspect.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, if you're going to the video store and you heard that, what would be the first thing in your mind?
He's the one that did it.
Yeah. Like,
you just outed yourself, you fool.
You know, it also is just like, you know, these murders are happening in your town, and then you have someone screaming that from the rooftops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exactly help your situation. It doesn't exactly help the situation. Also, it just makes it really awkward.
Yeah, no, you're just digging a hole further and further.
Yeah. And so, anyways, and also during this whole time, Gail is trying to get close to Officer Dewey, right? Because of the fact that, sorry for that background noise, someone has the car that they think that makes them really cool. anyways, so Gail is trying to get close to Officer Dewey. Obviously, she's trying to, you know, get the inside scoop on everything that's going on for her next book, and yeah, also for her career. She's not doing it to be, you know, not doing it to be nice to Dewey.
I mean, eventually
her and Dewey are together, right? But it doesn't start out that way.
No.
And so what is it? If my brain will work, one of my favorite scenes is like the sheriff is talking to Dewey and they try to keep Dewey kind of like childish in a sort of way.
Yeah.
Because he's like
kind of innocent.
I mean, he's like the rookie, right? He's the kid.
Yeah. He's a newbie.
Yeah. I mean, he's sitting there and like in the scene where he's like, "Hey, you have to address me as, you know, Officer Dewey." No.
I am an officer of the law.
I am the officer of the law, right? And then another scene where he's talking to the sheriff and he's eating ice cream, right? Mm-hmm. And also, I just want to say this, like, the cast of Scream did a phenomenal job
in
that movie. Everyone that they picked, the person for Dewey, I don't know why all of their names are just fleeting my mind right now, but David Arquette. David Arquette, phenomenal job. And also, that's so, you know, they build a relationship on screen, David Arquette and Courtney Cox, right? they actually get into a relationship in real life because of that movie. And they get married years, and they have like a kid years later. They get a divorce, but it's like a mutual thing. They're still friends to this day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, it's still pretty cool seeing that. And, you know, David Arquette has done a lot more than just, you know, movies. He's also appeared on WWE or back in the day, WWF, or was it no, ECW. And won the ECW Championship of the World.
So, as a wrestling nerd, David Arquette did appear, not in ECW, but in WCW, and he did win the WCW World Heavyweight title, and what would be the one of the worst decisions WCW ever made. But, yeah, he did win a world championship in wrestling. That is an absolute fact.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, so David, David is a jack of all trades. Anyway, so now we're in the iconic Scream House, you know, which is an Airbnb in California.
I fully believe that.
And they kept everything like how it is. They kept everything how it is from the movie, except they changed one thing, and it's the stained glass that's at the top of the house, the circle stained glass. They turned it into Ghostface.
I love that.
But they kept everything how it is. They still have the old TV from the movie, and you can watch that movie on the VHS and things like that. And so I thought that was really cool. But now we're at the party, and Sydney gives the go-ahead for Billy to just go to town. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so while they're going to town upstairs, and also, like, this is kind of important to the plot, but she was a virgin in the movie, right? Which is important to the plot of it, because then they go over the three rules in a horror movie.
Don't you know the rules?
What rules?
You don't... Jesus Christ, you don't know the rules?
Have an aneurysm, why don't you?
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex. No!
I'm a dead man.
Sex equals death, okay? Number two, you can never drink or do drugs. No, the sin factor. It's a sin. It's an extension of number one. And number three, never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
Oh! You see, you push the laws and you end up dead. Okay, I'll see you in the kitchen with a knife.
Which is because they're like watching Halloween or whatever. They're watching Halloween.
Yeah.
And then Randy pauses the movie and it's like, okay, there's three rules you need to follow in a horror movie. One is don't have sex, which you get like a bunch of boos, which you're probably also getting boos here as well. Don't have sex, never split up, and then never say, I'll be right back, because you're never going to be back.
And then Stu, of course, I'll be right back.
Yeah. And then he leaves, you know. And again, Matthew Lillard in that role was phenomenal.
He was perfectly unhinged.
And he improvised a lot of his stuff.
That makes sense for him.
Yeah. And so, anyways, kind of continuing on from that, Dewey's sister also Dewey's sister leaves to go get more beer, and that's when Ghostface shows up to her, and then she thinks it's a joke because it's like, oh no, don't kill me, Mr. Ghostface Killer. I want to be in the sequel. Randy. Yeah. Or she thinks it's Stu, but like, I mean, it really is, but she thinks it's him joking around.
Yeah.
And then I think it gets serious after he gets, like, does he push her, or he tries to slash at her? And that's when she's like, oh, this guy's real.
He, like, grabs her arm and like does like a massive like 7-inch cut, like basically along the entirety of her forearm.
Oh yeah. She like, he cuts her arm, and that's when she's like, oh wait, this is for real.
Yeah. Yeah, so she tries to run, and they had like a dog door on the garage door.
And he also, don't forget, also Ghostface trips over inside the garage.
He does.
And he also gets hit in the face with beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she throws a beer bottle at him.
Yeah, and then he trips. I don't know if he trips over the beer or he trips over his own feet, but he trips and falls in the garage. And then, yeah, mm-hmm. And then if you want to say this part when she's trying to leave.
Yeah, she's trying to do the typical runaway. And she gets, like, her torso out through this dog door. And, I don't know, she was stuck or something or didn't have enough time because...
Her butt was too big. She couldn't get through.
She got that big booty, yeah. Yeah, Ghostface. He triggers the garage door to start opening.
Which, that's the world's largest garage door opener.
Yeah, that was so unnecessary.
Because, like, the garage door should not, like, it can, like, because, you know, garage doors aren't that heavy, right? And right. That's the max weight that they have. Otherwise, it would just fly open. Mm-hmm. Because if they were going any heavier. And so that should not have been able to pick her up. I know it struggled, but it should not have been able to pick her up in the first place.
Right.
Movie logic. Yeah.
Where there is no logic.
Anyways, so continue.
Yeah, so she's stuck in this doggy door, like, and the garage door is slowly opening, just, and she knows she's screwed at this point, right? She's still frantically trying to escape, and it ends up, like, her neck ends up getting crushed, or, like, almost beheaded when the garage door finally opens up fully.
Like, her head gets crushed. Like, it snaps her neck and crushes her head a little bit.
Yeah. And at this point, going on in the house, they finally, like, hear of the principal getting killed.
And typical teenagers, hey, let's go look at it.
Let's go look at the body, yeah.
Yeah. Because they hung him up, because... Ghostface hung him up at the goalpost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, we gotta go see this while he's still up there.
Yeah, just adding to the plot, making it empty.
Mm-hmm.
For the final showdown. Do, do,
do. New, new.
Even though it's new, the final new, countdown, new. But, you know, we're gonna say the final showdown. So, I think during that time, it shows... that's when it kind of starts getting more meta, because Ghostface appears mm-hmm. behind Randy, whose name is Jamie in real life.
Yeah. He's sitting on the couch still watching the movie, and he's screaming at Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween. He's like, look behind you. You know, he's behind you.
Turn around, Jamie. Because the killer's always,
the killer's always right behind you.
Jamie, look behind you. Look behind you. Turn around. Behind you. Oh, turn around. Behind you. Behind you, Jamie. Jamie, turn around. Oh,
And, of course, Ghostface is right behind him. And, Gail Weathers had, like, her little camera van.
That had like a, it was like 30 minutes behind.
No, because like the or 30 camera seconds. Guy.
It
was 30 seconds.
Yeah, the camera there was a delay was like on the camera. Seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, she had snuck in the house and secretly put like a old camera, because 90s, you know. Which I love those cameras. I have one of those cameras. But she puts one in there to see if she can get some of the like behind the scenes footage for her bit, you know. And there's like a guy out in the van watching the camera, and he's like, I don't know, there's some delay, you know, whatever. And Randy gets stabbed, of course.
I don't think Randy got stabbed or he got knocked out, because then Randy saw Ghostface before he stabbed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets knocked out with like a beer bottle. Yeah, he gets knocked out with a beer bottle from Ghostface. And then he goes out into the van, because at this point, Gale and Dewey leave to go look at the body, right?
Yeah, Dewey had just gotten the news, too.
Yeah, and that's when the camera guy gets his throat slit. Because I think they show up, they come back right as soon as that happens. Or right before.
Yeah.
Or right after.
Yeah, because Billy the Rizzler over here. They get interrupted by Ghostface, and Sydney just books it. She runs for it.
Because he sees Billy getting stabbed.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So her instinct is to run, and she runs out to the camera van. And that's when the camera man gets killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and poor Dewey gets stabbed, too.
Which, fun fact, they were actually going to kill off Dewey in the movie right then and there.
That's diabolical.
But when they showed it to test audience had an uproar, and so they let Dewey live.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah, that was
They want Dewey.
That was back in the day when movie theaters actually listened to their audiences, but that's a whole other topic.
that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, something that we are not doing.
Uh-huh.
And so now that starts like the great chase scene throughout the house and everything. And then you get the, she sees the dead bodies. So, you know, every horror movie, there's the dead body trail that they see.
Right.
And then
the drops of blood,
Yeah, then it gets revealed who the killers are.
Mm-hmm.
When Billy quotes Psycho, which is, we all go a little mad sometimes.
Help me. Stu's flipped out. He's gone mad.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
No, Billy!
Oh, fuck!
Anthony Perkins, Psycho. Corn syrup. Same stuff they use for pig's blood in Carrie.
And turns out that Billy was the killer, and then she tries to run and runs into Stu, and she's trying to tell Stu, like, oh, he's the killer, we gotta get out of here, blah, 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 blah. And then Stu goes, like, surprise, Sydney, with, like, the voice changer.
Surprise, Sydney.
Yeah, it was like a little handheld.
Yeah, and then so, you know, that wasn't like an actual voice changer. It was like a voice actor on set.
No.
And they never met him.
Wow.
Like, he was off screen, like in a booth somewhere else. And so he was recording those lines, even sometimes live with the characters on set. They never got to meet the guy. I think they finally met him at Scream 4. Is when they finally got to meet the voice behind Ghostface.
That's a little disappointing.
They wanted to kind of keep it ominous. Makes it
a little
more
like
creepy.
I'm not saying it doesn't make sense, but.
But, anyways, so we get to the reveals, and then the chase scene starts. Also, turns out that they kidnapped her dad. Trying to frame her dad for all of it, and they also admit to killing her mom as well.
Yeah, because Billy's dad and Sydney's mom had an affair, and like Billy's butt hurt about it because, I think it was like his mom left after she found out.
Yeah.
We did your mom a favor, Sid. That woman was a slutbag whore who flashed her shit all over town like she was Sharon Stone or something.
Yeah, it would put her out of her misery. Because let's face it, Sydney, your mother was no Sharon Stone.
Is that motive enough for you? Or how about this? Your slut mother was fucking my father. And she's the reason my mom moved out and abandoned me. How's that for a motive? Maternal abandonment causes serious deviant behavior. Certainly fucked you up and made you have sex with a psychopath.
And so Billy has abandonment issues.
And then he says that they're going to blame horror movies or whatever. And it's like, well, horror movies don't create killers. They make killers more creative.
Yep. Which I love that line.
Because it's kind of true in a sense, because now, you know, serial killers aren't as prevalent as they were back in the day, at least that we know of, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, even in real life, it's actually really sad. It's interesting because we talk about how cool it is in movies, but then when it happens in real life, we're just like, it's super sad.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying horror movie has had an influence, but they did have a kind of an influence on a lot of killers nowadays.
Yeah, there was a lot of inspiration taken.
Yeah, and so that is one of the things that is sad about the horror movie industry, is because not only that, they kind of, and then the movie directors and stuff like that, they take that and they use it for themselves, like real life events that happen, and they make it into a movie. And so, yeah, which is like super, super sad, because I think I've said this before. I think I said this to you and to EP and then also to Robin. I'm going to say it again. There's just lots of mental health issues out there. And I do like how horror movies are kind of the forefront of it when it comes to acknowledging it. Because Billy, he's a narcissistic sociopath.
Yeah.
And Stu is like a psychotic, because there's a difference between sociopath and psychotics. Not that big of a difference, but there is a difference between a sociopath and a psychotic. And so, anyways, and I think, so anyways, before that chase scene starts, they both stab each other, right?
Yeah.
And
for their little alibis.
Yeah, and then Sydney gets away, and then she also somehow takes the voice changer with her. And she calls the house with the cell phone and talks to them in the Ghostface voice. And, you know, they start kind of freaking out. And what also another one of the greatest lines, which Matthew Lillard put this on his Instagram the other day or a couple weeks ago, comparatively when this thing comes out. And he put on there, my mom and dad are going to be so mad at me.
Call the police.
You missed your sorry ass.
My mom and dad are gonna be so mad at me.
And he also put that, like, he says that in the movie, again, improvised, and he also put that on Instagram as one of his things. He wrote that out and then just posted it. And so it kind of gives us a hint that maybe Stu Mocker's coming back for Scream 7.
There might be another, yeah.
Well, so it's confirmed there is a Scream 7. There is. But yeah.
No, I meant like another appearance of Stu.
Yeah. And so because
we shall see.
Because how Stu supposedly dies in the movie, honestly, because they didn't stab themselves in like he gets stabbed multiple times, but he doesn't get stabbed in like vital areas, right?
Right.
And then he gets a TV dropped on him. But the TV doesn't break or anything, it just falls on his head.
Yeah.
I mean, true, it's like the 90s TV, which those are really big, heavy TVs, but, you know, it still could have just knocked him out, right?
Yeah. Minor concussion.
Yeah.
But
and so,
no, like, yeah.
Yeah, and so anyway, so then the whole chase scene happens, and then Sydney comes out of the closet and stabs Billy with the umbrella. Mm-hmm. And also another fun fact, you know that scream that he does? The painful, that actually was real, because she missed the mark and actually stabbed him in the shoulder with the umbrella.
Oh no.
Yeah.
The things people do for art.
So, anyways, if you want to go from there. After Billy gets stabbed with an umbrella.
Yeah. And so then he kind of, Billy, I don't remember if he, like, got the knife from Sydney or whatever, but he turns it kind of back around on Sydney, but then Gail Weathers shows back up and has her 2 seconds of fame. She shoots him.
Well, here's the thing also with that. Billy, like, kind of knocks her out because he realized she left the safety on.
Yeah. Guns work better without the safety on.
True, but, you know, we're not going to go into that either.
Right.
But, anyway, so, like, Billy knocks her out, and then he's ready to kill Sydney, and that's when she gets her 2 seconds of fame. When,
She shoots him in, like, the shoulder.
Yeah, and then he goes down.
Yeah, yep. He's down momentarily.
Randy wakes up, too, at this time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sorry, I know I keep stepping over you.
No, you're good. I've done the same to you. A little payback there.
Yeah. Anyways, like,
yeah. Right.
I'm gonna shut up. You go for it.
Billy kind of lunges like for Sydney and Gail, but Sydney gets the gun, and ends up shooting Billy in the head, and that's what takes him down.
Randy also says, just to let you know, this is this part where the serial killer comes up for one last scare.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Billy...
And that's when Billy lunges, yeah.
And then you have the nice, peaceful ending. Gail is doing the report. You have Dewey coming out. And then he puts the thumb up that he's okay, which David Arquette saying, like, hey, can I just do that? Because, like, with the test audience, it's like, can I just put my thumb up saying I'm okay that he survived? And they were like, yeah, sure. And that's what he did. He put his thumb up saying he was okay. Mm-hmm. He's alive, you know. And then you have every typical horror movie ending. The sun starts to come up on the next day.
Yeah.
So I got three questions for you. What did you like about the movie? And then what did you didn't like about the movie? And then I started the segment last episode. I started a new thing. Wait, I started with Robin, and I'm doing it with you, is we're going to do a rating out of how many, between 1 to 5 stabs.
You know, I like it.
You know, instead of 1 to 5 stars, yeah. We do that.
Gotta make it spooky, yeah.
Yeah. 1 to 5 stabs. What would you rate it? So, what did you like about it, what you didn't like about it, and how many stabs would you give it?
I really liked, obviously, the cast and the characters, the plot. I didn't really like how there was a little bit of inconsistencies, or like kind of plot holes, like in the moment, but then they would later like come back and be like, this is, and explain it.
Yeah.
'Cause it's just, it makes it a tiny bit harder to follow. But overall, I would give it 4.5 stabs.
4.5 stabs.
4.5.
Yeah, got it. Alrighty. Well, for me, like, what I like about it is, like, for me, like I said, it brought back the slasher subgenre of horror movies. It's very unique in its own way, and it kind of inspired other movies like I Know What You Did Last Summer and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that, and then kind of like what you said, like the plot, I think for the movie, obviously, like the runtime, that it had that long of a runtime, it did go by pretty quick. You know, I feel like, obviously, first movie, you're kind of doing things a little fast, but they kind of rushed a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like one of the down takes, and I say, and I'll probably same thing, 4.5 stabs. So there you go. That is Scream. And if you want us to discuss your favorite horror movie, you know, just leave it in the comments on Spotify or on YouTube or Apple Podcasts. I think you can leave comments on there. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. And also like, follow, listen, subscribe, wherever, whatever platform you're on. Anyways, Grace, you want to say anything to them before we kind of sign off here?
Thanks for listening.
The wisdom of Grace, as always.
Yes.
Anyways, well, thank you guys so much for listening. You know, and you guys have a wonderful day. And as always, be spooky.